Well, over the last several offertories, I've addressed some of the characteristics of a Spirit-led servant of Christ. And today what I want to do is really focus on discipleship itself. And, you know, as we look at what a Spirit-led servant looks like, somebody trained that servant. Somebody taught that servant the right way, Christ's way. And it's through the living that out that we see the different attributes that we've talked about. And so that's really what I wanted to talk about today is what is discipleship and why would you want to be involved with discipleship? And, you know, really for me, the way the Lord put discipleship on my mind was I continued to walk into churches over the years, and I came to the Lord late in life. But I would walk through the doors and I would say, I would think to myself, you know, much of what I'm hearing is good. I didn't know whether it was really accurate or not because I'd never been to church and I couldn't read the Bible, but I knew what the Lord was talking to me through it. And I kind of started looking at it, and I thought, okay, well, all this is well and good, but now what? So you come on Sundays and you hear an hour and a half message, and then you go about your business and you come back next Sunday and you go through the exact same thing. So what's changing? And so the Lord began to put on me, okay, well, that's because I've told through my word, I've told the pastors, the leaders, the shepherds to go and make disciples. So what does make disciples mean? Well, make disciples means take my word and teach the word, but not just teach the word, but teach, okay, well, and this is what it looks like lived out. And so as I've been around more little people here recently, it kind of came to mind that, you know, little people are born little. You know, they're born helpless. They know nothing about nothing. And if they need something, they simply scream. So, but life goes on and you raise them and you teach them and you bring them from little children. And you know, we see about that in 1 John. I speak to you little children. I speak to young men. I speak to you fathers. And there's a progression of maturing that's going on. And that's really what discipleship is all about, is it's that progression of maturing. Because you can come to Christ at an older age. You can be 60, 70, 80 years old and still be a little child, because you've never been raised in what Scripture's telling you, and you've never been raised in what does it look like to walk as a child of God. You can have been walking through the doors of a church for 20 years and still be a child of God, and Paul addresses that. You know, I'm feeding you milk because I have to. I wish I could feed you meat, but you're just not ready for it. So sometimes people come through the doors and they're checking off the box. I went to church. I put some money in the offering plate, and which is a whole nother story. But through that, I'm now good with the Lord, and nothing could be further from the truth there. So it's discipleship is really about saying, what does Scripture say? Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Well, there's some qualifications in there, and one of them is you need to be a faithful man. So what does a faithful man look like? Well, a faithful man isn't here one day and gone tomorrow. And a faithful man isn't somebody who's going to follow a certain principle or doctrine one day, and the next day it changes. And so there has to be a desire for somebody to truly walk as Christ. That's what we are as disciples, is we're learners of Christ. How did Christ do it? Well, if we look at the way Christ developed his disciples, he did it by walking with them, right? He didn't go to the universities and pick out the best and the brightest in the world's terms. He went and found fishermen. He found some others, but basically the Amoses of the world, and he went and found people who were serious about wanting to follow him and who developed a love for Jesus because of who Jesus is. And it wasn't because of what Jesus was going to do for them. Think about it. He tells these guys, life's going to be tough. You follow me. So they weren't looking for something from Jesus. They were looking to Jesus and saying, this is who I want to follow. And again, that's what discipleship is about. It's not about forcing people into a relationship with God. That doesn't work. But it's about people making a determination for themselves. You know what? I've done this for a certain period of time, whether I received the Lord yesterday or I received him 40 years ago. And am I eating meat or am I drinking milk? And the other question is, but can I be closer to Jesus? Because if I think I can't be any closer to Jesus, I've got a problem. Because what that tells me is I think I've arrived. And none of us have arrived. And so just being involved with somebody else who is actually also pursuing their relationship with the Lord is something that we can all benefit from, because we all have different gifts, right? We, you know, and so you sit down and you operate as the Lord intended us to, with different gifts and learning from each other, building each other up. And so, but from the discipleship standpoint with Family Bible, we have people who disciple individuals, and you can get together at weekly intervals if you want to, but to really learn, what is it that God's telling me? What is it that I've come to believe that Scripture says that I don't? I had a conversation with somebody this last week that was enlightening. And I said, you know, people think that Scripture says this. And he goes, well, it does say that. And I said, no, it doesn't. He said, really? I said, no, it doesn't. He said, I've always been taught that it does. Well, it doesn't. And so, but that's the benefit of being able to sit down with somebody who will tell you that, and none of us are perfect. None of us understand the Bible completely, but it's the benefit of being able to sit down with somebody and learn Jesus, learn that relationship together. With that in mind, I've asked Peter to come up this morning and share with us, because Peter has been involved with discipleship for
almost 3 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was it about being discipled that drew you?
Well, I guess it started with the baptism. That's when you and I first engaged more deeply in that. I decided that I really needed to proclaim to the world and to this new family of mine that I am proud to be a Christian. I am a milk-drinking Christian, big time. And I desire to know more, because growing up in my past religious path, I didn't have that true understanding of the Bible, who Jesus was. You kind of have this, you know, God up here kind of thing, check the box and kind of go on from there. But in being with more accountable, I guess, and a desire, because the desire was to get to know Jesus more, get to know God and then obviously Jesus more. So I said, let's do it. And I was a little apprehensive, I'll have to agree. And I never really read a lot of the Bible, just the big lines that everybody knows and so forth. So I have to say it was a leap of faith almost to learn, but also a very strong desire. And then we started to meet. And I have to say it's been wonderful. It's been enlightening. I wish I would have made this commitment, gosh, when I was in my, at least my early 20s, starting and raising a family, because I see a lot of benefit in the Lord's direction on being a Christ-led person, man, father, husband, all that. So, it's wonderful in that regard.
When you look at the things of Scripture, and as you're reading through Scripture, have you seen a difference in the way the Lord reveals things to you as you're moving through? In other words, do you find yourself seeing things or being able to understand things where 3 years ago you weren't?
Yeah, I definitely, through our conversations and enlightening of going over different books of the Bible and so forth. You read the Gospels and you think, oh, they're just the same kind of story over and over, until we have a discussion realizing that John's focus is on love, and the different areas of Matthew and Mark and Luke, as we're going through as a church, realizing that, yeah, it's the same, because let's face it, I was not a big reader. I read a book, you get the idea, you get the gist. Heck, I'll be honest with you, we were just talking about it. I was a Cliff Notes guy, if those of you know that what that is. But and okay, yeah, I got it. I can write a 4-page, you know, what it was about. But really, to dive deep into it and read and feel the relationship that the Lord wants you to feel out of it has been enlightening to me, that it's alive almost. And you can read it, especially you're having a tough week or you're running into a challenge. And every morning, Lori and I will get up and read. She's more deeper in it, but I read a section of the Bible and I'll go, wow. I just open the book, and the Lord's speaking to me. So that connection is really there, and I think it's only because of discipleship that you helped me open that door of just don't read the book, but really, what does it say? What does it mean? How do I apply it? All that kind of stuff, and it's really impactful for me, and where this is really going, and I don't know if you can ask this next, but I have a desire now to have at least others or my family to understand, to make that connection and to learn more about how to open up the world of the Bible to them.
Well, and that really is the picture of discipleship. That's what Jesus had in mind. He started with 12, and from that 12, so it is that desire. And we have the desire to share. Why? Because it is something we truly believe, we've received. And it's like any treasure. You want it to share with the, you want to share it with others around you.
Right.
And a second ago you said it's almost like it's alive. Well, it is the living word.
Right.
And so that's one of the great things about being serious about getting in and not just learning doctrine. I think one of the things I've appreciated about you is that you're not just, you don't just want to know the facts. It's how does it apply? It's not just the doctrine. It's what principles go along with the doctrine. In other words, what does that look like in my life lived out? Yep. And that's really the critical element is you know, what is God telling me and what does he want me to do with what he's telling me? How does my life look different as a result of me having this this information? And how is it impacting the relationships that I have around me? So that's one of the things that, as I've seen the Spirit work in you through your time in Scripture, that's...
God's been knocking on my heart for a long time, and I've been running the other direction until truly I arrived at this church, and then we started discipleship. And because of that, it's... I don't want to run from it. I don't want to ignore it. I have a desire to know more about it. And the thing that just impacted me this last week, which really was the book that you gave me, Knowing God. And I listened to it, or I've been reading it, and I've been trying to digest it. And truly, what's been something I've been working on, and it not only spending time in the Word, but spending time getting to know who God really is. And that hit me just yesterday as I was going through the book on a quiet Saturday, which is unusual. And it's still in my mind, and it brought up the situation of, it talks about a horse, and you can get to know a horse in a couple days and know how that horse acts and operates and its characters. But a person, is to get to know a person, you could be with a person for 3 years, but that person didn't open up to you, and you really don't know that person until that person opens up. And then now you think, okay, I have this holy God who knows everything, is everything, and so forth, and how he wants to open up to you. Obviously, he can't sit there and talk to you, but he does through the Bible. He does through his Spirit, and that piece is the journey I'm going through right now, and it's incredible.
It's awesome to think that the powerful God looks at me, you know, and so it's wonderful. And that proper theology, what you're talking about, is if we make so many misassumptions because we don't understand who God is, and you know, we see stories in the Bible and we think, well, that's mean. Well, that's because you don't know God. And so if you understand he's a good and loving God all of the time and he's working good, then it, when you go through the pages of Scripture and you see things and you go, that something sounds off there, that's then I can understand that I'm looking at it wrong.
Right, I'm the one that's off.
Because it's not God.
Right.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Sure. Thank you for spending the time with me.
Well, it's a blessing. It's God's. That's not me. I'll tell you what. That's one of the wonderful things about receiving the Lord is He changes the things that are important to you. And spending time, and you'll find yourself wanting to do one activity one day, and the next thing you know, you're organizing your days around, Lord, what would you have me to do today? And that's only the Lord can do that in somebody. So, Father, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you for your love for us and the way that you do draw us to you. Lord, we thank you for the way that you reveal yourself to us. And Lord, what we recognize is that the more we pursue the relationship with you, the more you open up and the more you reveal. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you for the hope that that gives us that we will be in eternity with you. We want to share that knowledge, that gift, that comfort with all that we encounter. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.